Good morning. It's always a joy to have you with us for the Word for Life radio ministry. Many times we have the opportunity to interview folks and talk to them about their walk with God and who they've discovered God to be during the hardest times of their lives. Sometimes we just look at stories in the Bible. That's what we started last time we were together. Two men on the road to Emmaus who were facing a tremendous time of disillusionment, unsure of where God was in their world situation. Oh, they believed in a sovereign God, but boy, he sure hadn't shown up recently. The one that they thought was going to give them freedom from the Roman government, the Lord Jesus Christ, was dead, gone, and they were just totally discombobulated. I don't know if that's a word or not. It is now. Totally discombobulated. You ever been like that? You ever been just empty, hopeless? That's what these men were. So they're walking home, 7.5-mile trip. Jesus shows up, joins their conversation. And we saw last time we were together how he watched their behavior. And then he listened to their thinking and their feeling. And the same thing is true for you and me when we are going through the same kind of time. He is listening to our thinking. He is listening to our feelings. And he knows exactly what's going on in our hearts and lives. Now, here for these two men, he drew near them when they thought they were walking alone. How closely associated he was to them, and they were even unaware that he was there. Then all of a sudden, he shows up. Oh, what a picture of the presence of God in your life today, my precious friend. You may not even see him, but he's there. He's present, and he's listening, and he's caring. And so consequently, somebody put it this way, nothing comes to his attention that is not touched by his affection. Now, figuratively, we know nothing comes to his attention. He knows everything. But it's always touched by his affection. And so when we're done verbalizing our disillusionment, then we see the next thing that the Lord Jesus does. It's what he did with the two men on the road to Emmaus. The third thing was the Lord led them to understand his word. His word. We see in verses 25 to 31 of Luke 24 that he opened up the scriptures. It says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, his first words reveal the source of the problem. It sounds a bit harsh when you recognize that they think he's a total stranger, and he's just been listening to them tell the story, and then he very quickly responds, "Oh, fools." Now, that'll get your attention. They probably looked at him like, "Excuse me? You're calling us fools?" And then he says, "Slow of heart to believe." You see, it wasn't a lack of knowledge, but it was a lack of faith. A lack of faith. And so many times, that's the way it is with us. It's not a lack of knowledge. We know God claims to be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. But there are times that we don't live a life of faith and actually believe that he is. Isn't it interesting that he said to them in verse 17, "Why are you walking as you are and are sad?" Now, I have drawn a line from slow of heart to believe in verse 25, back to verse 17, and I've circled the three words, and are sad. See, any time I am not believing God's word, God's promises, God's principles, I will be sad as well. I will be filled with fear or frustration or disillusionment, just like they were. Now, what was it that they were slow of heart to believe? Well, it was his word in the Old Testament. And so consequently, the Bible tells us in verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And so we can see then that he begins to share God's lessons. God's plan is, number one, suffering first and then glory. Suffering first and then glory. And then, of course, that plan is the same for us today. Just like it was with Christ, he suffered first, then he entered into his glory. You and I must also learn to suffer. Remember the fellowship of his sufferings that the Apostle Paul wrote about to the Philippian church? the fellowship of his sufferings. See, when you are suffering, he is there to fellowship with you. Now, you try to walk away from him, you close your Bible, you stay away from church, you may do other things to just close out his voice, but oh, my precious friend, he loves you too much to allow you to do that. The Holy Spirit lives within. He can talk to you all day long and all night long. So what is he saying to you? He's saying Christ's ministry was to suffer first and then enter into his glory, and the same thing is true for you and me. So why am I surprised at the suffering that he has designed for me? You remember in Hebrews and chapter 12, the Bible is talking about that same principle. It says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author because he provided salvation for us. That was the beginning of our faith. But notice he is the finisher of our faith. In other words, he's not going to leave us halfway along the trip. He's not going to say, see you later, guys. He is the finisher of our faith. So looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There's the suffering. Despising the shame. Oh, now here's the glory. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there it is. He said, suffering, then glory. And so, to address our disillusionment, he addresses his word. He did that back on the road to Emmaus, and he will do the same for you and me. That's why it's so vitally important that we don't listen to Satan and stop reading his word, stop trusting his word, stop going where his word is preached and taught. That's what Satan wants us to do. But see, the plan of God is exposed by the word of God. Now, the plan of God always involves Jesus Christ. So, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's verse 27 of Luke 24. He expounded in all the scriptures all the things concerning himself. In other words, what was God's plan? This is what the Lord Jesus was constantly doing. He was constantly helping people to understand God has a plan, and often it's difficult for you to understand that plan. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, here is the message on the day of Pentecost. Peter's preaching, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And so we can see then, crucifixion was God's plan. What was God's plan? Suffering. So when they were disillusioned because they were expecting him to overthrow the Roman government and set up the kingdom, they were wrong. And so many times we become disillusioned because we have a plan that we think God ought to carry out. And God says, I'm sorry, but that's not my plan. My plan is suffering and then glory. And so many times we like to advise God, don't we? Oh, we say, no, 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 I'd never do that. Oh, yes, we do. See, when we're telling God in our prayers what he needs to do and what we want him to do, Lord, you need to do this and this needs to change. We're advising God. That's a dangerous thing. Because he's God, and we're not. We need to just stop and step back and realize God has a plan. We see that a couple of chapters over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. And it says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, here in the message that was being preached in Acts chapter 4, the message went out, the crucifixion was God's plan. Now, the followers of Jesus couldn't see it. They didn't understand it. But he is showing them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And the plan of God always involves Jesus Christ. Now, where in the Old Testament could this be seen and understood? Well, numbers of places. Genesis 3:15, we're told that God would defeat Satan with his son. Genesis 12:3, we're told that all the families of the earth will be blessed through his Son, and that is because of his death, burial, and resurrection. In Genesis 18:18, the same message. Genesis 22:18, all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the line of Abraham. Why? Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Genesis 26:4, the same promise was given to Isaac. So we've got to see the sovereignty of God in his word to counter the devastating effects of disillusionment in the world. And I'll say that again. We've got to see the sovereignty of God in his word to counter the devastating effects of disillusionment in the world. And so consequently, we begin to understand that that which we do not understand, God understands, and God has in total control. Somebody said, well, when it rains, it pours. But God's word says, when it pours, he reigns. He reigns. Isn't it interesting that the word sovereign has reign at the end of the word? S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N, reign. You see, when we recognize that God is in control and suffering is a part of it, we understand it through his word. Now, I want you to notice, after he was done expounding all these things to Cleopas and his brother there in Christ, it says in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. That's an interesting phrase. They've been talking this entire 7.5-mile trip, but now they've reached their hometown. And so Jesus pretended as if, well, okay, guys, see you later. He made as if he would have gone further. In other words, Christ is willing to leave them in their disillusionment, or he is willing to stay longer to comfort their hearts. Wow. What an important truth that is for us today. Christ is willing to stay longer with you. He is willing to minister his word longer to you if you want him to. But he is also willing to leave you alone in your disillusionment. My precious friend, don't stay in that condition. As long as he is willing to continue to minister to you through his word, through fellowship of believers, through the teaching and preaching of his word, don't walk away. Don't say, okay, good to have seen you. They had no clue who he was at this stage of the story. No clue. And he was willing to walk away. But my precious friend, he's also willing to stay. Would you invite him to stay? That's what these men did. These men invited him to stay, and their lives were eternally changed. My precious friend, invite him to stay. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, invite him to come into your life and save you and stay. The next time we're together, we'll continue this Bible study to see how their life changed through him. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.